Turn with me to the book of Philemon, please. The book of Philemon. That's right after Titus, towards the back of the New Testament, right before you get to Hebrews. It's usually just one page, maybe a page and a half in between. So it's easy as you're flipping through, it sticks together and you don't find it. But Philemon. Philemon is an interesting book. It is a short book, but within the short book is packed a lot of truth and a lot of help for us. Many times when we come to Scripture, we need to come to Scripture with a prepared heart, that God works in our heart and our lives, but we need to seek help. And usually as you look at the book of Philemon, most of the times you look at Paul, you look at Onesimus, and we're going to hit them a little bit, but I want us to look a little bit from the view of Philemon this morning. I want us to look at this thought of, have you ever been wronged? And how do you deal with it? Now you say, well, we've all been wronged. Yes, we have. And we're going to talk about some of that as we get in this. But as we get into this portion of Scripture, we're going to see redemption. And as Paul even wants to pay the debt and all that happens, we see Onesimus going back and getting what happens. His life is changing. He comes back and he starts serving. He starts doing. All that's great. But how about Philemon and how he handles what was done to him? You and I have had people do wrong to us at times. I don't know everyone's life. I don't know everyone's story. But I do know there's been those within this room that you've been wronged before. Someone has cheated you. Someone has stolen from you. There are some in this room that maybe you've been mistreated by a parent, by a guardian. Some of you may be mistreated by a teacher or other individuals. Some of you have had other things happen from so-called friends who have turned around and stabbed you in the back. We've all had many things from different avenues. Some of you have been in relationships with other individuals and they treated you poorly or done harm to you or said mean things to you or even touched you in ways they should not have, and there's abuse and all the things. Many individuals have been wronged and hurt in life. The problem is this. We've all been hurt and wronged, but many of us struggle with how to handle it. We've talked about this before from other portions of Scriptures. What usually happens when we don't deal with something in our lives? It becomes bitterness. And what does bitterness do? It robs you of the joy that God wants in your life. And when we do not handle the things that have been done to us wrong the right way, it creates a bitterness in our heart and a bitterness in our lives, and we lack that joy. We don't have that joy anymore. It takes us, it robs us from that joy in our lives because we have not dealt with what we need to deal with and have not handled things the way we need to handle. You can look around and you can probably give examples of individuals you come in contact with or people you've come in contact in the past, of individuals that you always thought to yourself, whatever happened to that person? Something must have happened for them to act the way that they act. And what it is something happened to them. They didn't deal with it. We see a lot of people today go to counseling. I'm not saying you should never go to counseling. That's not what I'm saying. But a lot of people go to counseling. Why did they go to counseling? Because there was stuff done to them at some time in their life, and they have never let go of that and turned it over to God and got things taken care of. And it's something that has haunted them the rest of their lives. And it's affected their current relationships. It's affected the relationship with their kids. It's made an impact on how they live for God and don't live for God. It's affected everything about their lives. Philemon could have handled things differently, but it would have destroyed Philemon. Philemon handled it the way we ought to handle things. And God blessed, and he had joy once again in his life. Look at Philemon chapter 1. We're going to start verse 10 to read through verse 18. And we'll get into this message this morning. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bounds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is my own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. For without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on my account. Heavenly Father, we love you. And we ask that you would just help us to see the truth that you have for us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Look again with me in verse 11 and verse 18, please. Which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. Onesimus wronged Philemon. We could read this, as we read this chapter, we believe that it was some type of theft, some type of thing. And then it tells us that he actually ran and left. A slave in that day cost 500 denaro. That was not easy money. That was a lot of money in that day to be able to have a slave. Here's an individual that someone took something from, but then he lost the slave himself. He lost those things. He'd been wronged by this Onesimus. He'd been hurt by him. And as we look at this, and I'm glad Paul came to his side, and Paul understood, and Onesimus received the Lord as a Savior, and because of that, Paul went to his bat for him and says, I want you to receive him. I know he was not profitable, but I know he'll be profitable now. And we understand the redemption and all that given. But put ourselves in Philemon's place for a moment this morning. Could you imagine someone took something from you? Could you imagine someone did something to you, and then they ran from it, and now they're coming back, and they want you to receive this individual with open arms and says, come, I'll forgive you for what you've done. Now, how many of us, you don't have to answer out loud, but think about it, how many of us would do that? Now, think about it for a minute. How many of us would do that? If someone did something to you, how do we react to that? How many times have you been hurt by someone, and when you saw that person, you just got this feeling like that anger just sets in. Ugh. I can't believe that person can walk around with a smile on their face. They know what they did to me. They know how they hurt me. They know what they've done to me. How can a person do that? I'm telling you, I put myself in Philemon's place, and I start to think for a minute. Would I not think that if I was Philemon? Oh, who does this Onesimus think he is? I'm glad Paul says he's okay, but does Paul understand what he did to me? Does Paul know how he hurt me? Does Paul know what he's done to me? I tell you, or that would be our mindset as we are looking at this and when we're wrong. And that's why we get so upset with individuals that have wronged us, and then we say, oh, look at their life seems all wonderful. Their life seems all grand. And they're going around and everyone thinks they're great, wonderful people if they only knew the truth about them. But don't ask me to take them back in. We've been wrong. And maybe this morning, and it's not my intentions, but maybe some thoughts have come to your mind of some things you're holding on to this morning that you've been wrong. And maybe some of those things are really starting to play a toll in you even this morning. And God's trying to work a little bit and it's pulling a toll because you've been wrong and you have not dealt with it properly. Maybe you've dealt with it the way I described of us saying, oh man, I've been wrong. Do you know there's people that keep track of everything that someone's done wrong to them? That usually happens in a marriage relationship. I have over 20 some years of full-time ministry now, I have counseled many individuals in regards to marriage and in marriage and problems. And I tell you, most of the time, I try to find out what the root is and we deal with the root and we go from there. And they always want to handle all these branches. The branches aren't the problem. It's the root you got to get to. And we can cut off all the branches. We're not going to solve the problem until we get to the root. And what happens is, I've had several, and I'm not saying this, please don't take this. This is the truth. Most of the time, it's the ladies that come with a list of things. And I'm not saying it's always true. I'm just telling you what I've seen. Please don't kill me over this. But the ladies come with a list of 500 things that their husband had done to them from day one. Even before they got married, when they started dating, they started keeping track of everything that they did all the way. And they made the list, and they have this list. And you know what the funny thing is on the guy? The guy doesn't even remember one thing of it. So they have the list. The lady has the list. The lady has a list. The guy doesn't remember anything. And they're like, you must be talking about someone totally different. I would never do any of those things. And that's how we operate. We hold these lists, and we have this list listing and going on and on and on. Do you remember in 1972 at 10 p.m., you said this to me? You're laughing, but some of you have that list. You just hit it. I see those faces. And we hold on to those things, and we have that and that. Some of you have done that to your parents. What do you mean? Let me give you a secret. Your parents aren't perfect. All right? They do things they should not do. And some of you had not perfect parents before. But because of certain things, you've held that against them. And now that some of the people, when their parents get older, now it's your revenge to get back at them, right? And that's the mindset people have. No, that's not the way we should act. But we hold on to all these things. And what it does is it starts to kill us within. But Philemon was asked, he was wrong. Philemon was wrong. But let's see how Philemon responded. Verse number 12. So we see that Philemon was wrong, but we see that Philemon needs to have the capacity to forgive. The capacity to forgive. Verse 12. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him. That is my own bowels. That word receive means to take to oneself, to take by the hand, to grant access to one's heart, to totally forgive and to reconcile to one another. That idea of him receiving is not just taking him in and saying, okay, I'm going to take you in, but I'm going to watch every move you make because I don't trust you. I'm going to take you in, but because you harmed me and because you've done this to me, I'm going to make you asleep with the pigs because you're not welcome to come into the house. This idea of receiving means you're going to take to oneself, that you're going to take him in and take him as one of your own. A perfect example of this is in the New Testament of the prodigal son. What happened when the prodigal son returned? He took him and he didn't just make him a servant. He gave him all the treatment and took him back in as someone special. The idea of what Philemon was to do to Onesimus, what Paul was asking, is to treat him even as you would treat me, Paul. I mean, Philemon, treat Paul as you would, Onesimus, as you would treat Paul. And you would take him in and you would treat him. And Philemon would do this. Wait, I'm supposed to receive someone that's hurt me? I'm supposed to accept someone for what they've done. I'm supposed to truly show forgiveness. See, forgiveness is a word we use very common in our day and age. We use this word forgive, and we're to forgive. And we're to forgive those individuals. And we say we forgive. But what happens is our forgiveness has conditions. Our forgiveness has conditions. I'll forgive you as long as you don't ever do anything like that again. But as soon as you do, I'll put it right back in your face. That's our forgiveness. Our forgiveness is kind of like our judicial system, in a sense. How many of you have ever gotten a ticket before? And how many ever went to court, and especially when you're younger, they work with you a little more, and they said, as long as you keep clean, we won't put that ticket on your account anymore. As long as you don't get another ticket. If you get another ticket, you get both tickets, right? Anyone ever have that before? And sometimes you have to take a class or something, and you're able to do that. But what happens? You're forgiven to a point, right? But as soon as you speed again and you get pulled over, what happens is now you got both tickets. That's kind of how we do forgiveness. We'll forgive to a point. We'll show forgiveness to a point. That word receive means you take into yourself as one of yourself. You're going to treat him the right way. You're not going to even ever think about what was done to you before. You see, if I truly forgave someone, I understand there's consequences. I'm not saying there's not. I understand sometimes the whole idea with trust and all that takes place. But if I forgive someone, I'm not going to bring that up over their head every time that I see them. I'm glad God doesn't do that to us. You see, the perfect idea of forgiveness, go ahead and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 4, I want you to see this. Most of you know these verses here. Verse 31 and verse 32. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, when we're hurt, and when Philemon is hurt, he was told to receive him, and he had to have the capacity to receive him, the capacity to forgive. You and I have to come to a place that we have that capacity to forgive. And how do we have a capacity to forgive? We realize what God has done for us. We realize how he has forgiven us. And it's the love of God in and through our lives that we bestow upon someone else. That's what forgiveness is. It's the love that God gives us that we bestow upon another person and show forgiveness. When you and I hold on to something that someone's done for us, and no matter how hard it is, and no matter how wicked it is, no matter what they've done to us, but we hold on to that, we are not letting the love of God go in and through our lives and be bestowed upon that person. We're not remembering all that God has done for us and the love he's shown us. And we're not giving that to another person. We're holding it on. How many remember a certain event in the New Testament where some did wrong and they were forgiven, and then someone owed them just a little debt, but that they didn't want to forgive that person at all, and they did harm to that person? We do that in our lives because we don't have that capacity to forgive. We want everyone to forgive us. We want our spouse to forget what we've done and forgive us. But we don't want to forgive them. We want our kids to forgive us, but we're not going to forgive our kids. We want that person that cut us off on the road. We want that person that did us harm at our workplace. We want this to happen and that happen. We want that bully at school. And all those things, but we don't want to forgive them. We want everyone to forgive us, but we don't have the capacity to forgive. And the reason we don't have the capacity to forgive is because we truly don't have the love of God shining in and through our lives. Look a little further here. Look at verse 15 and verse 16. For perhaps therefore ye departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother, beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. When Onesimus left, he left a sinner. When he returned a brother. Now, what is he supposed to do? How many remember the story of a person named Saul Paul in Scripture? What happened after Saul got saved? His name became Paul. Paul is the one who is writing this and is giving this. And he's telling him, you need to receive him. But what had to happen for Paul? Paul had to be received as well. How many people really wanted to be around Paul after Paul got saved? Many people were very skeptical of Paul. But there was one man named Barnabas, the encourager. And what did Barnabas do? He was told by God to take and go with him and say, you need to receive him. You need to take him. He needed to take him his own. Paul understood the idea of what forgiveness was and what forgiveness had to be granted to this individual, Onesimus, because Paul was granted this forgiveness. You know, you and I have to come to a place that we have to accept others and realize that God has done a work in their life. He had to recognize that God did a work in Onesimus' life and God changed him. You know what we do many times? Well, as long as I see that this person's going to change, then I'll forgive. What does Scripture say? We're to forgive. I'm not supposed to look and see if that person's going to change, if that person's going to do anything different. I'm to give forgiveness. Because does God question us? What does the Bible say? If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When I confess my sins to God and I give them to God, what does God do? He forgives. Does he say, well, let me see. I think that Dave Boyer is going to do a terrible joke again. And so he repented of that joke. And because he repented of that joke, I'm not going to forgive him of those jokes because he's going to go ahead and do another dumb one next week. And we're not going to forgive that. No, he doesn't. He forgives us of what we've done. He forgives us of those things. And he doesn't question our motives. And many times we question other people's motives. Philemon was told, don't question the motives. You receive him. You don't treat him as a slave anymore. He's no longer a slave. He's a brother. What a picture of you and me. When God saved us, we're no longer a slave. We belong to the King. We're no longer a slave. He redeemed us by the precious blood of the Lamb. We become His sons and His daughters, and we're now with Him. When He was given Onesimus, He was said, He can be profitable for you. You need to forgive Him. You need to treat Him as a brother. Don't treat him as a slave. Receive him. Now, you know what would have been hard for Philemon? Well, if I don't handle this quite right, every slave thinks they're going to be able to do what he does. And if I don't handle this quite right, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. You know what we do many times in our lives? We know we're supposed to show forgiveness and grant forgiveness because God has commanded us to do so. But we start to question and say, well, if I don't do this right, this is going to happen and that's going to happen. So I really can't show full forgiveness because it's just going to come back and get me somehow. Or this is going to happen. No, forgiveness does not look at the circumstances and try to figure it out. Forgiveness is granted and given because of the love of God in you that you give to someone else. And you give that love towards them. Look at verse 17. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee, put that on my account. Do we have the capacity to love like Jesus? What did Jesus do for us? On that cross, the Bible says, he who knew no sin became sin for us. He took your sin and my sin and put it to his account. Paul said, I know he's done wrong towards you. and he's done wrong towards you, and I know he's done this wrong towards you, but you just put it to my account. If someone has wronged you and done those things against you, you need to show the love of God to them. And you need to forgive them and say, all right, God has put my sin on their account. My sin on his account. And because my sin is on his account, I realize that that love needs to be granted and given to them. And I need to forgive. Paul said, I know this is going to be hard, but this is what you need to do. Philemon did it. Let me tell each of us something this morning. Forgiveness is not easy. Forgiveness is hard. Forgiveness is hard. Because we have to humble ourselves to a place where we're willing to say, it does not matter how I feel or what has been done to me, but what matters is I show the love of God. But we let our feelings, we let our emotions play a role. And we need to squash those in our lives. And we need to show this forgiveness. Look at verse 19. I, Paul, have written with my own hand, I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thy own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord, refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. What did Paul know? It wasn't going to be easy, but Paul knew Philemon would do it. Because Philemon was a godly individual, even though he was hurt, wanted God's best in his life. When you and I are right with God, that is when we can show forgiveness as we should. And Paul knew Philemon would show forgiveness because of his heart and his life. When you and I don't show forgiveness, it's an indication of something deeper. It's an indication of our walk with God and what our heart is. When I become bitter towards someone, it's because my heart's not where it ought to be. When I refuse to show this forgiveness to someone as I should, it's because I'm not walking with God as I should. And what we have to realize in our lives, many times it's a bigger picture than what we look at. It's more than just, oh, I didn't show that person forgiveness, big deal, move on. No, there's something far deeper in our hearts and our lives. It has to do with our love for God and our walk with God. And we need to make sure that this is right. Because when my heart is right and I'm walking with God, then I am going to show forgiveness and love to someone else. Let me ask you a question. Are you holding on to something in your life that you haven't granted the forgiveness that Onesimus, or that Philemon showed Onesimus? Ask God to bring that to your mind. And if there is, you need to seek God and ask God's forgiveness. But you need to cast it at the feet of Jesus and give it to him and truly show forgiveness to that individual, that person. While that person's no longer living, you can still cast it at the feet of Jesus and you can still get rid of that bitterness in your heart and your life, and you can still have forgiveness. Maybe someone is a living. Maybe you need to call them. Maybe you need to go see them. Maybe someone has hurt you. You need to write a letter or text this day and age. You need to do that. Why? Because you got to show, if you want to be right with God, your heart has to be right. And if you have bitterness in your heart, you're not right with God. And you got to get rid of that bitterness in your life so you can do and be what God wants you to do. I'm not saying you got to become best buddies. I'm saying you got to deal with it and show forgiveness and deal with those issues that you're struggling with and holding on in your life. You need to give it over to God and show that forgiveness. Because all that it is going to do in your life, if you hold on to everything and not show the forgiveness, it's going to destroy you eventually. And it's going to have impact on your relationships now. It's going to have impact on how you handle life and how you handle everything else. Let's live for God. Let's have a heart that is on fire for Him. And let's grant forgiveness. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for Your precious word. And we thank You for this portion of Scripture. And there's so much more. And we know mainly it's about the redemption and all that took place and all that was given. But Lord, help us as we looked at just a little bit of Philemon and what he was asked to do and what he did. Help us to do it in our hearts and our lives. And Lord, if there's something in our hearts and lives that we have not forgiven, Lord, show us, Lord, and give us the strength and the help we need to grant the forgiveness that we need to grant. Lord, we pray if there's one this morning that has never received Your forgiveness, never put their faith and trust in You alone for salvation, we pray that this morning would be their day of salvation. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Heads bowed.